Let me just remind you that the devotionals are in the office. Those of you who read our devotionals every morning, the new devotionals are in the office there, and hopefully someone will be by the bookstore or wherever in the office. You can purchase your devotionals, I think $1.50 or whatever it is. And how many of you read the devotionals on a fairly consistent basis? How many of you have never read it? You've never read our devotional. You've never read it. Come on, just be honest. It's not a big deal. But it is a big deal, but it's not a big deal. So they're in there, and I would encourage you to just get it. $1.50, and it'll bless your life. It really will. It really will. I get all the time from people, you know, Barbara sends them to God knows how many people, and they ask me if I write it. And I have to tell the truth. No, I just have my name, but I wish I had. I wish I had. Also, for the church anniversary and my anniversary, we had a photographer here taking pictures, and the pictures are downstairs. Many of them are free. You can go downstairs after service and you can pick up one. Listen, just don't be greedy and pick up 10 or 15 of them. And then some of them you have to purchase, but after this service, you want to go down and just see the pictures. They're down there. I think that Debbie Nicholson and others will be down there as well. Amen? Here now the word. The word is found in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. It's a scripture that we don't like reading. We don't read this one too much. We've been talking about the church over the last few weeks. The church as the body of Christ. Christ being the head of the church, amen? And we are his body. And we've been talking about the church as the ecclesia, the called out community, called out to be sent out, amen? How many of you have been here for these? We've been talking about it for a while, the church. And then we talked about the church as the chief cornerstone. And we talked about that the church is more like a messy construction site than it is like a showroom. That in the church you got all kinds of people. Amen? Might be dressed up, but we got all kinds of people in the church. And today, I want to talk about the church as the bride of Christ. The church as the bride of Christ. And we don't too much like to read this text, but it is in the Bible, and I think it has something to say for us. Ephesians chapter 5, let's begin at verse number 21. Can you put that one on the screen for us up there, please? Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. All right, here we go. My translation may be a little different. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church, and the church submits to Christ. So you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean and washed her by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. And the scripture says, a man leaves his father and his mother and joins to his wife, and the two unite into one. This is a great mystery, but it is illustrious of the way Christ and the church are one. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Amen. Can I get an amen again?
Amen.
I mean, this is the word of God. It is the word of God. I know y'all don't like it, but it is the word of God. The church, the bride of Christ. Christ loves the church. Christ loves his bride. You know, some people say, well, Jesus was never married. Well, the Bible says he had a bride. And that bride was the church. And the Bible teaches us, just like Christ loves the church, husbands ought to love their wives. Now notice the order of the thing. He does not say, love the church like you love your wife. But he says, love your wife like Christ loves the church. How many know that's a big difference? Because we don't necessarily love our wives the way we ought to. But if you want an example of how we're supposed to love our wives, take a look at how Christ loved the church. Amen? It is important to understand how it reads in the Bible, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. The union betwixt Christ and the church is a model for Christian marriage. Christ's relationship with the church is to teach us about Christian marriage. You can look in verse 31. Christ died for the church. He sacrificed for the church. That is of huge importance to how we are to relate to one another as husband and wife. This is good news for dysfunctional families. This is good news for some of our families because we did not have good families. Many of us did not have a father in the house. And many of us had fathers who were abusive. And many of us had mothers who were abusive. Many of us had families that we cannot brag about because we were taught at an early age, what goes on in this family stays in this family. And sometimes that is what's been robbing us of our joy. But Christ, you know, and then there are people who say, well, I don't know how to love my wife because I didn't have a father in the house. Listen, I don't care how good your father was, he was flawed. I don't care how good your husband was, he was flawed. He made some mistakes, and we become good as we follow Christ. Do I have a witness in the house? Christ is the example. Christ is the model. Christ teaches us how we are supposed to love our wives. And if you want to, never mind, I read 5 books on how to be a good husband. That's all great, but you need to read the Bible. Amen. Christ, we need to know how it is. Many of us need to know, how can I be a good husband? Well, Christ is the head of the church. And this sermon really is not so much about how to become a good husband. This is just a bonus. This sermon really is how to love the church. This sermon is really not about how to love your wife. It's really how to love the church. And once we learn how Christ loved the church, we, as a bonus, we'll learn how we are to treat our wives. Isn't that good news? So if you grew up in an ungodly home, if you grew up in an abusive home, Christ still has a word for you. Jesus has a bride. And his bride is the church. And he is writing to the people of Ephesus. The people of Ephesus were the most paganistic people in the world. They did everything in the world. They had no rules almost. And Christ is writing to the people of Ephesus to tell them how they are to act as husband and wife. And he's really saying, get to know Christ and you will know what it is to be a good husband. Even if you had a terrible father. How does Christ love the church?
does Christ love the church?
Well, first of all, Christ gave himself for the church. Here Christ is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. He empties himself and comes down from the cross and gives himself for the church. He left the praises of angels to come down and give himself for the church. He's suggesting to us, if you love your wives, you really got to sacrifice sometime. I know some woman in here ought to say amen to that. And let me see. Well, I know you're sitting there saying, hey, I ain't married. Well, let me tell you something. You got a boyfriend, and if he doesn't sacrifice for you now, he ain't going to sacrifice for you later. Christ shows us how we are supposed to love our wives, and Christ sacrificed for the church. Amen? And then, he does this, and he's not looking for anything in return. You know how we are. It's sort of like when my kids were small at Christmas time, that, you know, they come to us and get the money for our presents, and then they say, look what I gave you. And that's just the way we are in some of our relationships. So childish. It says, I'll do for you, but you know I spent $500 on your gift, and you got to spend $1,000 on mine. It's not like that. Christ gave, and he didn't expect any monetary necessarily in return. I see one of the deacons out there shaking his head. And I think it was for what I said about the gifts. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He suffered. He forgave us. Now, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. And if you're hearing me this morning and you're trying to say, well, I don't know how if I can do that. No, you can't do it on your own. You and I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Do I have a witness in the house? I know you say, well, you talk about how Christ loved the church, but he didn't have to live with this woman I've been married to for the last 30 years. I can't do all that stuff, Christ. I need some help. Look at somebody and say, I need help. I don't care how good you are. We all need help to love life, because sometimes both men and women, we are married to almost unlovable people. Do I have a witness in the house? And we can't love like Christ without some divine help. We can love them for about 10 minutes like Christ, but after you stay with them, after they pass gas in your presence every day. And you're still supposed to love them. I ain't talking about when you're dating, when you're cute. I'm talking about before they brush their teeth. I'm talking about before they take a shower. I'm talking about when you got to love them in spite of who they are. That's how Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church when we were in our sins. He still died for us because he loved us that much. And if I'm going to love a woman like that, I need some help. Do I have a witness in here? You going to love a man like that, you need some help. I'm just trying to keep it real. We hear the Bible talking about loving folk like that. You know, we can kind of get weak in my knees. I'm a Christian, but Lord, no, I can't love. You know, I've been hurt too many times. These rascals has messed with me. I can't love like that no more. That's puppy love. That was the love when I first thought I fell in love. But I've been hurt. I can't love like that. That's why you need to fall on your knees and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. I need you in my life. I need to learn how to love this rascal or this rascette. I need your Holy Spirit. If I'm going to love like that, I need you to make me to be like you. And then not only did Christ sacrifice for the church, Christ is the head of the church. Now this is where we get in problem, because we don't want to hear, you're doing all right, Rev, you're doing all right. But now you're getting ready to tell me that the husband is the head of the wife. Look at somebody and say, he ain't making it up. You don't have to like it. You can pick up your feet from the floor. But I'm going to preach this, so help me God. The Christ is the head of the church. And just like that, men are to be the head of the wives as Christ is the head of the church. And as the head of the church, Christ initiates things. And Christ leads the church. And Christ is the innovator of the church. And the fact of the matter is, the reason some of our marriages is in such a mess, because the husband hasn't had a new idea in the last 35 years. He don't want to do nothing but sit there and watch CNN. Do I have a witness in the house? He don't want to go to the movies. He don't want to go. He don't want to go on vacation. He didn't have a nice eye. He had a lot of ideas before you got married. He's always bugging you to go to the movies and just take a ride down to the airport and watch the planes take off, even if he can't afford it. Now that he's got you, he hasn't led in 20 years. This stuff has got to cut both ways, brothers. Look at somebody and say, I know I need the Holy Spirit. But Christ was the head of the church. Look at somebody say, it costs to be the head. You want to be the head? It costs you something. It costs some energy. It costs some thinking. It costs some sacrifice. It costs some, and I know sometimes it might get difficult always initiating. I've been trying to initiate for the last 50 years. Don't you have an idea? I mean, I'm talking to the wife or the girlfriend. Ain't you thinking at all? You know, why I got to always? Because you're the head. And Christ was the head of the church, and Christ is the head of the church. And Christ, and look at, you know, you, when you're the head, you don't know, we don't know what Christ is going to do in Mount Olive over the next year. When you're the head, he's always breaking out. He's always breaking through. He's always doing some new stuff. We're going to have some ups and we're going to have some downs. But Christ is the initiator. And Christ is trying to mold us and make us and shape us. And just like Christ is the leader of the church, the husband is the leader of the wife. And you've got to have some ideas every now and then. You may not be able to go to Peru. I always want to go to Mica Pica, whatever that thing is. I ain't got Mica Pica money yet. Now I just go look at the pictures at the library. Christ. Husbands supposed to love your church, love their wives like Christ loved the church. And then Christ nourishes the church. He protects the church. He pays attention to the church. He shows affection for the church. His attention is always directed towards her church, towards the church. And just like Christ pays attention to the church, husband. I know, I'm getting in trouble right here now. Your brother sitting there, you're getting mighty quiet out there. You know, we pay attention to everybody else. Oh my God, is she? Do I have to say anymore? The sisters out there know exactly what I'm talking about. And we used to pay attention to our wives, but now she's become routine. But Christ, look at somebody and say, Christ pays attention to his bride. You say, well, he ain't had no bride. Yeah, he does it. The church is his bride. And he protects his bride. And he cares about his bride. And he pays attention to his bride. And he affirms his bride. Do I have a witness in the house? And Christ is trying to show us how to love. Christ loves the church. The bride of Christ is the church. Christ wants to make this church, church without spot, a wrinkle. You know how when we were young, we had a zit. Old too. And we get all these creams. You can make a million, you can become a billionaire on skin creams. And young, you know, I don't know why it is. You know, I get these zits on my nose. Lord knows I don't need no bigger nose. I don't know why God would do that to me, you know. And I got to stand in the mirror like, Barbara said, well, don't you think you put enough on there? And then we get older, it's not, we move from zits to wrinkles. You got all these wrinkles on your face. Look at somebody and say, they don't make enough salve to correct that myth. What about when you get zits on your soul and wrinkles on your soul and you cannot find a way to rub them out? That's why we need the Holy Spirit, because God wants to present his bride as a church without spot or wrinkle. He ain't worried about the zit on your face. He ain't worried about the wrinkles on your forehead. He's worried about the wrinkles on your soul. He's able to present us spotless. Low life like me, spotless. Low life like you, without wrinkles. Because you and I are part of his bride, the church of Jesus Christ. And then, if Christ loves the church, and you love Christ, how many of you know, if Christ loves the church and died for the church, and we claim that we love Christ, we ought to love what he loved. Do I have a witness in the house? If he has a holy union between Christ and the church, and if you love the bridegroom, you will also love the bride as well. This holy union between Jesus Christ and the church, and it is the life of this union between the bridegroom and the bride. Now think about it, brothers. I can take you telling me a whole lot of stuff about me. I can take it. But when you start talking about my bride, I can get ugly in a minute. Do I have a witness? I mean, brothers, that's one of the reasons why I like former Governor Cody. Remember when they start talking about his wife, and I think it was he turned his collar around and started cussing. I mean, they talk about him like a dog, but when they got to talking about his wife, he said, I will blank, beep, beep. You got it. Well, why is it that we're going to get all bothered when somebody talks about our wives, but we don't say a word when they talk about Christ's bride? The church is the bride of Christ. And Christ doesn't like it when you talk about his bride any more than you like it when people talk about your bride. You gotta have respect for the bride of Christ. Do I have a witness in the house? He loves his bride. He died for his bride. He leads his bride. He nurtures his bride. And he's not going to allow you to talk about his bride like a dog. Church, the bride of Christ. You gotta grasp this, the bridegroom. Grasp that you, when you get this, you'll think about the church in a different way. If you know, you know, the fact of the matter, you might say, well, I might not treat my wife right, but you ain't gonna talk about it. When you get the idea that you will fight for your bride, then you ought to get the idea that if you misuse Christ's bride, he's not going to be happy. A writer, I read this writer said that for a long time on his personal journey, he separated the love of Christ from the love of the local church. He said, for a long time, he says, yeah, I was immersed in a tradition that taught that I should love Jesus and I should follow Jesus, but I finally grasped that I was to love what Jesus loved. The closer I walk with Jesus, and the nearer and dearer that his bride becomes to me. You ever see those people who, oh, I just love Jesus. Hallelujah. I love him. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love him. I love him. I love him. And they can care less about his bride. They don't support his bride. They don't come to church. They talk terrible about his bride. Look at somebody and say, if you love Jesus, treat his bride right. Say it. What do you do? What when you truly love somebody? I mean, if you're shown up, this is South Carolina coming out. Joanne talking about she's from the Bronx. She ain't from the Bronx. She's from South Carolina. Talking about, you know, she just passed through the Bronx. She's one of us, whether she want to admit it or not, Sister Gibson. When you truly love somebody, when you truly love somebody. It's really not hard to determine if you truly love somebody. Because if you love somebody, that's what you talk about, and that's who you sacrifice for. And that's what you dream about. Remember when you first met him and you first met her, and you woke up in the middle of the night thinking about her. Oh God. Woke up early in the morning thinking about you. Went to bed thinking about her. I mean, when you really love somebody, you think, am I telling the truth in here? It's what you sacrifice for. Whatever you got, your resources, your money, your time, your talent. It's whatever you have to do when you really love somebody, you do it, you sacrifice. It's not hard to determine. Some of you might have read that book by Dr. Gary Chapman. He wrote this book called The Five Love Languages. Any of you ever read that book? It's an old book, but it's a good one. It says that when you love somebody, you have five languages. Five love languages. Somebody sleep, wake him up because I'm getting ready to help him. And that when you love somebody, you need to be able to express your love in five different languages. I know you're sitting there saying, yeah, I don't speak French. I speak pig Latin. What is that? What's the Jamaican name? That's not what I'm talking about. But that's five love languages. First language. And the first language is words of affirmation. When you love somebody, you affirm them. You speak the language of affirmation. You need to get this book. It's old, but you probably can get it on Amazon. And then, Donna, this would be a good one. This would be a good one for our Christian Institute. I'm not talking about you in that regard. I'm talking about this will be a good course. First, the first language, if you know, and there's some people who say, well, hey, I speak that language, but you can't just speak one of the love languages. You got to speak all five. You got to be fluent in all five. Somebody sitting out there. Come on. What's the second line? Anybody want to know? I know most of the time you want me to sit down, and now you sit there. Please tell me. The second language is quality time. If you love somebody, you can speak affirmation, but if you don't speak the language of quality time, your relationship is still crippled. Do I have a witness in the house? Things true. The third language is acts of gifts. You love somebody, every now and then you got to give them something. You got to give them something every now and then. Your birthday, your anniversary. That's, you know, and let me ask you a question. How you doing in the love languages, everybody? You all right? Are you fluent in affirmation? Don't let me have to ask your spouse. Are you fluent in quality time? Are you fluent in acts of gifts? Here's the fourth one. The fourth language is acts of service. Want a good relationship, want a good marriage? You gotta figure out, you gotta have acts of service. And listen, I'm not just talking about men here. Let me make that clear. And the fifth language that you have to speak is physical touch. You can have words of affirmation. You can have quality time. You can have acts of gifts. You have acts of service. But how many of you know every now and then I just like to be touched? Now, I didn't say sexually. I know where your mind went right away. That's all right, but you don't necessarily start there, you're in there. And if you start there, you got a problem. Do I have a witness in the house? Let me ask you, how many of these languages do you speak? I know you speak French. I know you speak Spanish. I know you speak patois, whatever it is. But do you speak the love languages? While these five languages work good for marriage, they also work good for the church. I mean, Christ loved the church, and you say you love Christ. Let me ask you, how do you talk about the church? Down there, those hypocrites and bad they're this and they're that silk stocking church. They don't care anything about poor people. How do you talk about the church if you love her? How do you have words of affirmation? Do you correct people in the barbershop? What? How do you feel about the church? Let me ask you another question. Do you spend any quality time? I mean, if you really love her, you're a Christian, you're a member of the body of Christ. And if you love the church, if you love what Christ loves, we ought to spend some time with her. You know, one of the things that we got people who are here every Sunday. I praise God for you. People here every Sunday. Some people here at both services. But then there are people who are so sporadic. Is that a word? They come once a month, maybe. Oh, I love the Lord. Oh, I love my church. Oh, I love my church.
They're good on affirming. They're good on the affirming when they get to church, but they don't speak the language of quality time. And so they're wondering why they're still in pre-K in the Word, because they don't spend any quality time with Christ's bride.
I challenge you. I'm not picking on anybody, but I challenge you. Flip the switch and try to spend quality time with the bride of Christ. You're preaching, Jackson. Go on, boy. Then, you know, we love church, we say, but we don't love her enough to sacrifice any money.
Oh. You're doing good, but you're messing now.
I dare you to get in a relationship with somebody and tell them you love them and you never want to. You go out there and you hit the lotto for whatever. And they know you got money. And you run off and buy a new car without buying her a new pair of shoes. And then you run home, honey, I sure love you. You lie and the truth ain't in you. Because those who you love, you sacrifice for, and you buy gifts every now and then. The same thing is true. If you love Christ, you ought to sacrifice for his bride, and nobody ought to have to beg you to give gifts to his bride. You preaching, Jackson. You don't have to like it. It's in the book.
Then, if you love his bride, you ought to do acts of service. That's what we've been talking about. I've noticed that the usher board has fallen off. Used to be a time where we had 75 ushers. Now, sometimes we got to get deacons to volunteer. Who in the world do you think you are that you can just come here and sit on the premises rather than serving Christ in some capacity?
I can't sing. Do what you can. Find the service, and not only serve Christ here, but find a way to serve Christ in the world.
Somebody was telling me about this young girl who was, I guess, in the beauty parlor or something. I don't know where she was. It was time to go vote. Young black girl. No, I think she was in class. Time to go. It was election day a few weeks ago, whenever it was. And the teacher said, well, you know, we got to go vote. And this little black woman, I can't vote. I got to go get my nails done. I don't even know who it is, but I'm smacking her right now. All the sacrifice that's been shared for you that you would have a right to vote, and here you are sitting up here with your little nappy head talking about you gotta go get your nails done. You need to take your tail and go down there and vote. I don't know if she's in here, but if you didn't vote, I'm talking to you too. I'm telling you who to vote for, but I'm telling you, you should have gone to vote. If you love Christ, you will serve Christ, not only in the church, but you'll serve Christ in the world. And then, physical touch. I'm not telling you, you got to run around touching everybody in church. That can get you in trouble. But I was noticing in the service today, the choir had sang, Reverend Hilton had prayed, and there was a couple in the balcony, I'm not calling any names, after the song was over, after the prayer had been prayed, They just stood there and hugged for 3 or 4 minutes. Sometimes the word is good. Sometimes the music is good. Sometimes the fellowship is good. But every now and then, you just need somebody to touch. And you know, women are better at this than we are. Men, usually. I might be sitting there, okay, you know. And I've seen it happen right down here, Donna. Right here, right there. Somebody will come to the altar. And somehow a woman senses, don't ask me how, that this person needs a little touch. And they don't think, they're not caring about, hey, we got to move on. You know, we got another service to do. Hey, Sunday school is coming up. It's not. And I'm sitting here saying, hey, we got to go. I mean, hey. you had your hug. But I just stay right there. And she just cries, and she just holds on, and she just hugs more. And the more in my mind I say it's time to go on, they just stand right there because God is doing something in that moment. And in church, you may not be touched at home, but you need a place where you can be touched by the Holy Spirit.
So the church is the bride of Christ. Christ loved her enough to die for her. And you and I claim that we love Christ. We ought to love what he loves. And we ought not go out of here speaking negatively about the church. There's enough people out there who speak negative. We ought to spend some quality time, not just once a blue moon. I think I'll go to church today. Get up every Sunday. You ain't, if you are that busy, you're too busy. Give access, give gifts, offering time. Serve the church and serve God through service. And then have physical touch through the presence of Christ. Doors of the church. I invite you to a closer relationship with Christ. Christ loves his bride. Oh yes, the church is the body of Christ. The church is.